Good morning, church. It is good to see you today. Let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we have come here to church here this morning, first and foremost, to start our service off with worship, praise, songs that lift up and glorify the name of Jesus. So, Father, we have a song list that's here this morning. We know that you've picked it. These are the songs that we're to sing here. So, Father, help us to simply lay aside everything that would be hindering us from concentrating fully on these songs. Father, let us come to you now in spirit and in truth to worship you exactly the way that you want us to come to you. And, Father God, we ask for your Holy Spirit just to fall down upon us here today. Let us just have an awesome time of worship. We thank you for this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart, I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
Amen.
You agree with that?
Yes, Lord.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Amen.
You'll find that in Psalm 89.
Thank you. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth this conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth this conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth this conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth this conversation aright will I show the salvation of God.
Amen.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless way. Send the light, oh send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, oh send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, oh send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, oh send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Amen.
Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Jesus will be there, we are going to see the King. Jesus will be there, we are going to see the King. Jesus will be there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more sickness there. We are going to see the King. No more sickness there. We are going to see the King. No more sickness there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Our loved ones will be there. We are going to see the King. Our loved ones will be there. We are going to see the King. Our loved ones will be there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Amen.
Soon and very soon.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall feed on the beautiful shore. In the sweet shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share, of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows His face, and gladly take my station there, and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. And though the flesh shall drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen.
Verse 2 speaks to me this week. It says, and since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care. That's what he wants us to do. And wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and
Sitting there thinking about the two men who were crucified next to Jesus. The one, he made it in within 3 hours of his departure here on this earth. I mean, that's cutting it pretty close. Can you imagine what his reaction was when he passed from this physical world to the next? The joy that he had. He was singing, you know, praise God. To God be the glory. He has taken mercy on me. He indeed was rejoicing, saying, to God be the glory. Purify my heart, let it be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let it be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will. Purify my heart, me from within and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin deep within. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will.
Praise God. It's good to see you here this morning. We're going to deviate a little bit from our normal procedure. We're going to have the Lord's Supper first. And I would like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I'm going to pick this up in verse number 23. Have you read this? What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise you the church of God? And shame that I have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. For let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned by the world. Wherefore, my brethren, would you come together to eat, tarry, or wait one for another? The question is, what does it mean to take the Lord's Supper unworthily? There's two things. One is, if you're not born again. The second one is, if there's unforgiveness in your heart. If there's sin or unforgiveness in the heart, then we come to the Lord's table, there'll be judgment upon us. But the good news is that the Bible says here, actually Paul says, that we have the option of judging ourselves. How would you like to go into a courtroom? Let's say you got a traffic ticket, and you're standing before the judge, and the judge says, well, I'm going to be nice to you today. I'll let you judge yourself. I'm not going to judge you. You go home, and you meet on a judgment that you think is worthy of your crime or your trespass. Now, be nice. Judges don't do that. But Jesus does. He said, I don't really want to judge you. He says, if you judge yourself, I would have to judge you. Now, how do you judge yourself? Well, just look in your heart. If there's anything that is not right, you say, my Heavenly Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. I want to repent of this sin. So we're going to take a few moments, and I'm going to let each one of us to pray silently. And then after you have prayed, I will pray for us all. So let's just pray right now silently to God, and you get right with Him. Judge yourself right now where you are, and take care of all things. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today as a congregation. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, our sins, attitudes, Father God, and things that we've done in this week, Lord, and it is not pleasing to you. And Father God, I just thank you right now that you are gracious, slow to anger, and that you would touch us right now. Oh God, cleanse us here today with the blood of Jesus, that we with joy can take at the Lord's Supper. And Father God, that you can bless us. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before we take the Lord's Supper, now we're going to do something very special that God simply shadowed me this week. He wanted to be done. And I want you to really do some thinking here this morning. You know, you and I have what we have because God has given us health. But you think about it. If a person gets sick, very ill, can't work any longer, it doesn't take long to deplete the things we have. And we go from being very having a nice life to something coming down to really problems and loss maybe of homes and property. Life is so brittle. It's so very short. And I'm thinking, you know, inside of us, we got a bunch of parts. We got hearts and kidneys, pancreas, glands, and so on. And if there's any one of these go bad, you can't drive down to the service station and say, hey, you know, change it out. Now, some doctors can do a few things. But, you know, if you lose a body part inside, we go down. Many times we don't thank God for our digestive system. Thank God for our kidneys and our liver. Thank God for a colon that is working properly. For bladders. You know, we take so many things for granted. We never say, thank you, Lord. God loves us. And I want us to think about when Jesus went to the cross. He went there to pay for our sins. And he also got whipped prior to that. And he took all our infirmities upon us. Another thing Jesus did before he went to the cross, and that was simply this, that he washed the feet of the disciples, and he told them, I love you. Love one another. Jesus is here today through the power of the Holy Spirit, but we are his body. We are the body of Christ. And before we take out this Lord's Supper today, Jesus wants us to simply go around today and say, I love you. I thank you for you being part of my life. God loves you. I'm rejoicing. We need to maybe have someone pat us on the back or a hug to say, you are loved, because we all need it. So right now, would you stand and you move around and you be Jesus in you as you move around. Let no one here be without a greeting or a hug. Love you. God bless you. Love you. Good to see you.
I was here Friday. Friday's the day
off. I put a couple of calls in for you. Praise the Lord. I can see the love of Jesus here today. And you know, it's good to, you know, we know that God loves us, but it's great sometimes to have it failing. Somebody touch us, flesh and blood, and it's Jesus. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And by the way, I guess we forgot the people in the sound booth. So let's do this very special. Would you stand and turn around and wave at the people at the sound booth? Tell them this. I love you. Okay, thank you. Praise God. So Thomas, would you lead us in a prayer for the bread?
Father God, thank you for the way you had things done here this morning, Lord. That each one of us could tell the other that we appreciated them, and the love of Jesus got to flow a little freer this morning. And Father God, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus, who was actually God in the flesh, to die for us, that we can have redemption, that our sins could be forgiven, Lord. And we're praying over the bread, Lord, which signifies that your body was broken for us, Lord. And we recognize that. We know that you did that willingly. And on our behalf, before we were ever created. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for salvation, for a home in heaven, for knowledge of who you are, for the Word of God, and the opportunity to be a light in the world and to spread the gospel, which is our number one calling. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We have here today unleavened bread. And unleavened bread looks like this. It's a round cake. And again, you see me do this many times, that when Jesus took the bread after the Passover meal, he simply broke it, because once I break this, it can never be put back together. As I break this bread, it is now broken forever. And that is how Jesus' body was broken forever for you and for me. As they hand it out, take a piece, and then we eat it together. Thank you. Behold, this bread together. I want you to know that God loves you. Jesus knows each one of us. And he wants us to be well and to be able to walk without pain. Let's eat this and think of Jesus, how much he loved us. Ask the tears to pray for the cup.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of rejoicing. And it's a day, O Lord, that you bring us into our remembrance the thing that Jesus suffered for us. And Lord, we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you, and we are grateful to you, Lord, for everything that you've done. We thank you also, like the pastor said, for our health, for giving us good health to each and every one of us. Every member of our body functions properly. We function individually, but we function as a body, as a church. And we want to thank you, Lord, and we are grateful to you today for the love that you had for us. For greater love had no man than this, that the man laid down his life for his friends. And he says, you are friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that we are going to do whatsoever you command us to do. And we bless you, we thank you for the blessing of the, oh Lord, of the cup that we are taking. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And this prayer we pray in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. Amen and amen.
As we pass the cup out, take it, hold it, and then we take it together. Hold this cup in our hands. If you want to stand and take it, you may. If you want to sit, you can sit. It's up to you. But you know, this represents the blood of Jesus. And I saw something here today that I want to share with you, what the blood of Jesus does. It was a time, Brother Thomas and our sister Jane here were not on good speaking terms. There was animosity between them. And there was a lot of prayer going up. And today, the two are good friends in the Lord. And I saw him walk around behind and give his sister-in-law the cup. You know, that's what Christianity is all about, is to forgive and be forgiven and to love. So as we take this cup today, think about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. He said, this is my cup, this is my blood I give for you. It's a blood that's going to bring us into heaven. Praise God. Baby Sadie.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for a day of victory, for a day of celebration, of taking, O Lord. Oh, hallelujah, the communion, O Lord. And we love you, Lord. We appreciate you. We thank you for the things that you've done in our lives, O Lord. And we praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as we are about to take this offering, O Lord, we want to thank the people all around the world. Not only this congregation, but we want to thank people all around the country, all around the world, who have been praying for us and supporting us. And we want to thank you for the gifts, that they always come in the time of need. And we thank you and praise you. And we love you, Lord, for putting in the people's heart to give to the work of the Lord. We ask you to continue your prayers for us. We appreciate every prayer that comes, O Lord, goes to the throne room. And Lord, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor today. Hallelujah. And you instructed us to bring our tithes into the storehouse, that it will be meat in my house. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bring your tithes into the storehouse, that it will be meat in my house. And prove me herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I do not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that it may not be enough room to receive it. And Lord, we thank you that you mean what you say. And we are going to give to the work of the Lord today. We're going to give with gladness. And we praise you and thank you, Heavenly Father, and let your name be glorified in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Okay, good morning. I'm going to have testimonies, and I have a testimony. I've been extremely blessed, really, in the last... they say that we've been in a recession for about 3 years now, and we're still maintaining at least 14 employees, and that's way better than a lot of people. So I'm very thankful for that. I was blessed also by one job where the builder gave me a $5,000 bonus. That's unheard of, you know. But that's just God's blessing. And then also we were blessed with some property that I'd say I'm recalling about probably 4 years ago. You know, I began looking for property, and I would be on my way to church and looking at this property and that property, you know, and finding myself kind of lusting after that. Oh, I wish I had that property, or I wish I had that property, you know. And then I would be reminded, you know, where it says in the Bible, and I can't remember the exact context, but it says houses and lands, you know, we're not need to be seeking after those things. And the truth is, God gave me a place that exceeded my expectation. Now, I know you've heard this probably before, but I still believe it's worth repeating. And we are in the process of fixing it up. And the reason for that is because I plan to have a celebration day one of these days. And it's coming. And I don't want to do it with things in disarray. I don't want to do it with the downspouts off, or the window broken, or this or that, or you know, a pile of trash over here, or boards falling off. That's not the condition of the place that we got. It was in pretty fair condition. But I want to have that celebration. I know we can never measure up to, or we can never do it good enough for God, for what He really deserves. But we can at least put our hand to it and do our best. And so that's what I'm trying to accomplish before I have that celebration day. And I want to have that day to let the world know that that's what God did. It's not what we did. So, and it's almost like baptism, when we declare to the world what God did for us, and that we are followers of Him. So, anyway, I've been blessed along that way. And that $5,000 bonus is going to help me out along the way. So, and then also in our business, we bid for work. And sometimes we get a little overzealous or I get a little overzealous, and I might bid a little too low, or I might bid a little too high. But when I look back, I always see the hand of God protecting me, even in that area. And I'm pretty sure He's protected me time and time and time again. And just a couple weeks ago, I bid a job. I looked at it. The house is what I call a basket case, not what I prefer to work on. So I thought, well, when I'm scratching out my numbers, I ran all my numbers long and not short. And so when I put my bid together, I didn't even really put out a written bid. I thought, I'm tired of doing some jobs for next to nothing. I'm going to bid this one high. I know there's probably six bidders on it. Probably won't get it anyway. So I said, well, here's my bid price. And I didn't even give him a written bid. And I said, just do me a favor. Let me know yes or no. And so that's where I left it. And then I get a phone call on my office phone, which I let that ring and go to voicemail a lot because it's always someone from some foreign country telling me, you know, I want to sell you a phone book advertisement, or can you help us with this, that, or the other. So a lot of that, the office phone, I let go to voicemail. But on an occasion, I might be there and pick it up. And so it was that way on Friday. And I picked it up. And it was that guy saying, well, you told me to call you and let you know one way or the other. He said, you're way higher than everyone else. And I said, yeah, okay, well, I kind of figured I would be. And so I said, you're going to get a smoking deal because the market is so depressed, and these other bidders are hungry, hungry, hungry. So a lot of them are bidding just to keep employees working and no profit, or actually going losing money. So I said, well, let me look at it and I'll see what I come up with. And that was it. So I looked at it and I said, well, you know, it just so happened that my crew is coming to a place where we have nothing to do. So I thought, well, now I'm going to, instead of bidding long, I'm going to bid short. And so I revamped my bid, and I already know the other bids are extremely low. And I called the guy back and I said, well, here's my lowest, and it's higher than all those guys. So you can decide. He said, well, I know who you are. Put it in the mail to me. So that's where it lies today. But what I do believe, and this happened to me time and again, that even though I'm higher, God's going to give us the job. Not that man, but God is going to give us the job. And when I say give us the job, I don't mean give it to me. Because He's overseeing my operation, and He knows what's going on in this life and that life and that life of all these employees. And He's got a way of working it out. And He might bless me and chastise them at the same time. And sometimes He might chastise me and bless them at the same time. But you know what I mean? He's sovereign. And so the end of the story will come probably next week. But I feel good about it. And I feel good because I believe He's watching over me. And he makes things happen even when I mess up. And that's truth. It's beautiful. So, and there's no explanation for it. And this is just a little side note. You know, I sat down to read my book one. I believe that's book one. And I was sat in on my chair with my ottoman and the book open. And so I'm going to, I like to multitask, so I'm going to watch the Weather Channel too, to see what's happening on the Weather Channel. Okay? Because that time of year, I got to keep a close eye on it. And it just so happens I happen to be on the History Channel. Okay? So they were doing a expose on the Bible. Let me tell you, the History Channel, it's got the Bible all messed up. Okay? So they were talking about the Israelites and the territory that they were taking and the battles that they were engaged in. And they had their professionals talking about their military tactics and all that. But they had, and they had preachers talking about it. But they never put into the, they never put into it the truth and the supernatural way that God took care of things. And so I ended up watching part of that and checking their scriptures, you know, because they'd put a scripture in and then checking the context of it. And it was way off base. But I don't know. I don't even know how I got on that subject, to tell you the truth, right now. But it's not what the Bible says. But that's what's being put out there, not the real truth and not the supernatural. What God did supernaturally, it's totally ignored. So. Anyway, I'm blessed, very thankful, and I have a wonderful future ahead of me. And that's the hand of God. So, okay, Joe, and then Mike, you're after Joe.
A good name is worth a lot more than anything else other than God's blessing in your life, isn't it, Thomas? Your name is well known in your community, and it's encouraging me to see how your business is being blessed. How many of you have noticed that the banks aren't giving any loans out? They might be receiving TARP funds. They might be having restrictions, lax on them, on their practices. But it's not really filtering down to our level very much. Yeah. Well, Bank of America and Wells Fargo, the giant monster mega banks, are probably the most visible example of that. They just seem to be unwilling to work with the middle class people, anybody trying to get a loan right now. They keep changing the rules. They keep upping the ante. There are so many tweaks that they're doing constantly in the middle of transactions that make it difficult. We're working four times harder as realtors to get half as much money from our transactions. This has been going on for quite a while. So I brought this to John's attention, and the prayer team, which I call the heavy artillery group on Tuesday night, has been holding us up in prayer. And we saw a breakthrough last week. So I'm up here to give a praise report. Yeah. Blessing. And I won't go into the numbers because it looked looks on the surface, if you don't know all the things, a little bigger than it actually was as far as net financial change for us on a monthly basis. But it was a tremendous blessing. What happened was, right now, Bank of America, out of every 3 million loan modification applicants, takes in and processes and actually approves about 200,000 of them. That works out, check this number out, to about 6.66%. A number we almost expect from Bank. Well, we won't go there. But anyway, we had, Teresa, I have a wife who is tenacious. She is amazing. You've seen her at the things that we do here at the, I call them potlucks, but, you know, our fellowship dinners, how she's just constantly moving. And when somebody has a need, she's on top of it. And when the other night a guy comes in from San Jose, he's got a little boy, and we were counseling with the mother and father. She immediately took his little hand, took him back to the nursery, and she's helping him play and entertaining him. Just, it's natural to Teresa. I've known her since she was 14 years old, and she has always been that person. So anyway, letter from FedEx the other day. They even called us and told us it was coming in. And typically when FedEx brings us something from Bank of America, it isn't good news. Well, Teresa opened it. She started reading. I'm over on my computer and she's on hers. And all of a sudden I hear this noise. And I turn around. It was her jaw hitting the floor. No, that, I made that up. But they had approved. We turned out to be, if you stood up seven people, and you cut a third off of the last guy, that's how many people out of 100 Bank of America actually approve for a loan modification. Six out of 100. They approved our loan modification. They approved it in a very giving way for a giant monster megabank. And what it meant was God was telling us, you're not going to be foreclosed on. You're not leaving El Dorado and going to live in a high population area at a time when who knows what might happen in the end times. Chaos might break out in population centers for all we know when the hammer comes down on this economy and this world. You're staying here. So he has kept us there for a reason. And we both sensed it was the hand of God immediately, because this just doesn't happen. As hard as Teresa thought, you know, there's a saying that says, if you're praying for corn, say your amen with a hoe. And there's truth to that. You know, if you're going to pray that you're going to get a blessing in life, there's a certain amount that God's going to look at you and say, well, are you willing to put your nose to the grindstone? Well, this tenacious wife of mine hammered for months at Bank of America, back and forth and back and forth. Finally, she says, you know, I give up. I'm going to let God take care of this. And I thought to myself, that's not a bad idea, you know. Why didn't that occur to us sooner? And in the meantime, the heavy artillery is flying. You know, John once described to me that you can compare prayer to this little guy standing on the shore with this little thing in his hand. It's a little radio. And he's over there just talking into this. And here's he's calling in the coordinates to a ship that's 20 miles offshore and lobbing in these missiles that are the size of Volkswagens on your enemy, and you're just telling them where to hit him. Well, that's what happens on Tuesday night every week in this church. And the Lord just did the work when we had finally gone like that. And here came this loan modification. Well, it takes a lot of pressure off of us in the long run looking at being able to hold on to this property. And I just wanted to praise the Lord first and foremost. But I also wanted to share with you something that I think Teresa matches rather handily. And I know she's one of these ladies that, you know, she's afraid of two things in life. You know, there are two things that really intimidate Teresa. One is an eight-legged creature going across the floor, and the other one is a microphone. You know, so I don't ever ask Teresa to come up and talk or even stand next to me while I'm talking. She'll get past that one of these days. But in Proverbs 31, if you could turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31, there's a a section in here that describes the kind of wife that many of us in this room are blessed with. I'm sure all of us know that when we find a good wife, Bob Cadle, for instance, as you're looking through your Bible, you find a good thing. And John and Ina, and I look around at Vasily, and we know what it is in this church to have a blessing. He who finds a wife finds a blessing in his life. In Proverbs 31, chapter 31, verse 10, it starts, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hand holds the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." I don't know a kinder person by nature than my wife. "She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." I thank the Lord for what he's done, and for my wife.
Amen. That's beautiful. Okay. Michael.
Okay, I just want the Holy Spirit to move through me here. And I've been going through quite a bit in the last several months. I came back to church the first part of this year, Jane and I. We left for about 3 years, and the Lord has always been, I've been battling the Lord, but ever since this last time I went through deliverance and got my life back on track again, the Lord has really been moving me. And so, I'm glad to be back here. I'm praising God to be here. I'm praising God that I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus and not anything else or anybody else. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And right now, I'm in a place in my life where my business came to a lull. And, a lot of it has to do with my rebellion over the years and not paying attention to what I need to do as far as, learning how to read, learning how to type, learning how to do, computer skills. And, I spent so much time of my life in front of TV from a childhood. And it was an addicting situation for me. And so even though I went through deliverance, TV was still a major problem for me. I just could not get it licked. And I'd spend 4 hours a night in front of the TV, no problem, until recently. And I'm praising God and thankful that I'm part of the Tuesday night prayer team here, because of it helps me to grow. It helps me to get closer to God. And I praise God for that. So 4 days ago, or last Tuesday actually, I had prayer over me here, and to get that stupid boob tube out of my life. And I can honestly say I went home and I didn't turn the TV on. Okay, now it's been 4-5 days without that TV. And I'm noticing a change in me. And I notice God is starting to move in me. More so than the way he was moving in me before. So I thank God for that. I thank God for moving in my life. And it's believe this or not, when my wife likes to watch TV too. But if I'm not watching it, she doesn't have a problem with not watching it either. And so we're working together. And I praise God for that. And another very important thing that I think is here in this church is that John said this morning about loving each other. How important that is for each and every one of us here. I mean, we all have our differences. We all have our problems. But when we're loved by others in this body, thank you.